Welcome to the OKC First podcast.
Together, we're learning to do three things.
Friendship with God.
Friendship with one another.
And open friendship for the sake of the world.
For more information about OKC First,
please visit OKCFirst.com.
Good morning. Welcome on this Easter morning to the first service of Easter. What a great joy to worship together on this Resurrection Day. Our Word and Table people are hosting this sunrise service today, sharing with us the practices of liturgical worship in the Wesleyan tradition. I hope each of you received a stapled order of worship as you came in. If not, please raise your hand and an usher will bring you one. Please note that the bold print is spoken by the congregation in unison, and you who are able are invited to stand at sections marked with an asterisk. Following this service, breakfast will be served in the atrium. Everyone is invited. And so now, on this most holy morning in which Jesus Christ passed over from death to life, we join with the whole company of God's people in heaven and on earth in celebrating Christ's victory over death and our deliverance from the bondage of sin and darkness to everlasting light. Let us pray. God of glory, in the resurrection of Christ, you have conquered the power of death and opened for us the way to eternal life. Raise us up, make us alive in Christ, make us new on this, the greatest of all days, so that by the working of your Holy Spirit, we may set our hearts on high to be restored to living in your holiness, and to live eternally in Christ, the risen Lord, who is one with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Let us take our orders of worship and stand as you are able, and join together in the brief responsive reading as we prepare for the lighting of the Christ candle, then remain standing for the opening hymn and the Easter proclamation. The light of Christ rises in glory, overcoming the darkness of sin and death. Christ is our light. Let us join together as we sing hymn number 260, Christ the Lord is risen today. Please join me as we read the Easter proclamation responsively. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Rejoice, heavenly powers, sing, choirs of angels, exalt all creation around God's throne. Rejoice, O earth, in shining splendor, radiant in the brightness of our King. Rejoice, O Holy Church, exulting glory, the risen Savior shines upon you. It is truly right that we should praise you, Almighty God, and your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is our Passover feast, when Christ, the true Lamb, is slain. On this night, you first saved our forebears. You freed the people of Israel from their slavery and led them with dry feet through the sea. This is the morning when Christians everywhere, washed clean of sin and freed from all defilement, are restored to grace and grow together in holiness. May the morning star, which never sets, find this flame still burning. Christ, that morning star, who came back from the dead and shed his light on all creation, your Son, who lives and reigns forever and ever. You may be seated. Let us hear the story of God's saving deeds in the history of God's people to the fullness of time, when God's own Son came to be our Redeemer. May the Holy Spirit impart grace to each of us as we receive the Word of God.
Our first reading is from the book of Exodus, chapters 14 and 15. As Pharaoh drew near, the Israelites looked back, and there were the Egyptians advancing on them. In great fear, the Israelites cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses,
"Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the very thing we told you in Egypt? Let us alone and let us serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness."
But Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still."
Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry out to me? Tell the Israelites to go forward. But you lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the Israelites may go into the sea on dry ground. Then I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And so I will gain glory for myself over Pharaoh and all his army, his chariots, and his chariot drivers. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained glory for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his chariot drivers."
The angel of God, who was going before the Israelite army, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and took its place behind them. It came between the army of Egypt and the army of Israel. And so the cloud was there with the darkness, and it lit up the night. One did not come near the other all night.
Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by the strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left.
The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and chariot drivers. At the morning watch, the Lord, in the pillar of fire and cloud, looked down upon the Egyptian army and threw the Egyptian army into panic. He clogged their chariot wheels so that they turned with difficulty. The Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt."
Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and chariot drivers."
So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea returned to its normal depth. As the Egyptians fled before it, the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the chariot drivers, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the Israelites walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left.
Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great work that the Lord did against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses.
Then the prophet Miriam, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand. And all the women went out after her with tambourines and with dancing. And Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider he has thrown into the sea." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm of response today is Psalm 98. Please take your orders of worship and join me as we read together responsively. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for the Lord has done marvelous things. God's right hand and holy arm have gotten the victory.
The Lord has made known his victory and has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations.
The Lord has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel.
All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God.
Noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises.
Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre, with the lyre.
With trumpets and the sound of the horn, make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord.
Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it.
Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord, who is coming to judge the earth.
The Lord will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity.
Our epistle reading is from the letter of Paul to the Romans, chapter 6. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life.
For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin.
But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives, he lives to God. So we also must consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please remain standing for the gospel reading.
Hear the holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke chapter 24. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body.
While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again.
Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them.
But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. And to those words, I'll add these. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever, and all God's people say, Amen. Amen. Let us now open our hearts and minds as Pastor Kelly Yates brings to us a word from the Lord.
Slept since he had died. So in the deep dawn of the first day of the week, the scent of the spices they carried filling the air, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women hurry in the chilly morning air to get to the tomb. Though the men had protested at their leaving, they must care for the broken and bruised body of their beloved teacher and friend, Jesus. Though innocent, he had been crucified 3 days prior, but the Sabbath had kept them from preparing his body with special spices. They walked in silence, each deep in her own memories of Jesus and his influences over her life. A few wiped tears away, tears that had been falling since Friday, even now the shock of his death barely sinking in. They still couldn't believe that Jesus had allowed himself to be killed. They had seen him heal the blind, the deaf, the lame. They had seen him raise the dead with their own eyes. He could have stopped all of this. He could have simply stayed away from Jerusalem like they had all begged him. Their thoughts were interrupted by the arrival at the tomb. At least they thought this was the tomb they remembered from Friday. The stone was rolled away from the entrance. Without hesitating, they all ran inside. The body was gone. They were perplexed about this. That's what the scripture says, and that is quite an understatement. The word translated perplexed literally means they had no resources for understanding what had happened. But suddenly, two men in dazzling white appeared to them. The women, terrified, fell face down to the ground. The men proclaimed, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again?" The women are reprimanded for seeking the living among the dead. "You should have known better. Christ told you these things." Someone put it like this: "We want to cling to what we know, which is death, instead of entering into what we do not know, which is resurrection." In their grief and fear, they had forgotten what Jesus said. Gerard Tashton says this about the use of the word "must" in the phrase, "The Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." The death and resurrection of Jesus are not accidents of history. The death of Jesus was not merely the result of human decisions, even though human decisions played a crucial role. There was a divine purpose at work. "Must" implies divine necessity. Herein lies a great mystery. On the one hand, human beings brought about the death of Jesus, yet in the very death, the purposes of God were accomplished. Human beings are responsible for the death of Jesus. It is not God who brings about the death of his Son. Yet when Jesus is crucified by the hands of sinners, God has not ceased his activity in the events of history. Even this awful death becomes the arena of God's work in the world. This is so because the story does not end with the death of Jesus. There is a sequel. God raises Jesus from the dead and thereby writes another chapter in the history of salvation. There will be a tomorrow because the grave is not the end. This text assumed that Christ had informed the women that all of this would happen. He would be betrayed, crucified, and raised. This means the women were in the inner circle of disciples where these things were said. And notice here in Luke, the women were not commanded to go and tell the disciples as they are in Matthew and Mark. They are not errand runners, they are disciples. They do tell their experiences to the 11 and to others, but that was because of their excitement of the event. They are witnesses to the event. This passage doesn't give the exact words of what the women said when they encountered the 11 and others, but you and I can imagine what they said. All of them talking at once, trying to get the words out. The tomb is empty. We saw two men in dazzling clothes. Could they have been angels? We were terrified. We fell on our faces. They talked to us. They said to remember what Jesus said back in Galilee, that he must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. Don't you remember, guys? He said all of this to us. The faith and witness of the women are made up of three elements: the discovery of the empty tomb, the word of the two messengers, and the remembrance of the words of Jesus. We often overlook the remembrance. Here it is vital to the gospel and found true in our experience. Remembering is important in the biblical tradition. God remembers and he acts. God does not forget. The empty tomb won't mean anything unless the women and the other disciples remember the words that Jesus said, that he would be crucified and that he will rise again. The death and resurrection of Jesus are part of a work of God in ongoing history. Remembering will become important to the emerging church. The church will only be able to remain faithful under persecution when they remember. Verse 11 says, "But these words seemed an idle tale, and they did not believe them." The men don't believe yet. They don't believe because they don't remember what Jesus said. It's going to take Jesus appearing to them for them to believe. What does it mean to be a true witness of the resurrection? What happens when we remember his words? We tell about the resurrection. In this passage, they don't find Jesus yet. They only find evidence of his resurrection. The living Jesus must find them, and he must find us. The women of Luke's story have been believing, faithful, and penitent all the way through the gospel. They financed the ministry. They witnessed the crucifixion. They risked arrest to care for the body of Jesus, and in doing so, left the tomb as the first witnesses of the resurrection. The men continued to doubt and fear. How does Jesus find us? Does he find us believing and faithful and penitent? Or does he find us full of doubt and fear? However you are this morning, you won't be the same after the risen Christ finds you. And it's okay, whichever you find yourself. If you find yourself the believing and the faithful, or if you find yourself full of doubt and fear, either one of those is okay, because the risen Christ will find you wherever you are. Peter is the only one who decides he must risk getting arrested to see for himself. He got up and ran to the tomb. He ducked his head and looked through the door, and he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves. In the English version we heard this morning says he went home amazed at what had happened. But the words could be translated, he went away by himself. As the King James puts it, it says he wondered in himself. Most translators base their translation on John 20:10, which is clearer that disciples went home. But Luke's imagery is of Peter wandering by himself with no direction to his wandering, because he is as perplexed as the women were. The Easter message calls you from your old belief to a new belief in life. The message is so outrageous that Peter had to go and look for himself. We who gather here at Easter are in the footsteps of Peter. We have heard that Jesus is alive, and we've come to hear again for ourselves. In Matthew, there is an earthquake, and the stone rolls away to reveal an empty tomb. In Mark, there is an empty tomb and a command to go where Jesus has gone. In John, we have Mary Magdalene in her grief. Here in Luke, we have the challenge, why do you look for the living among the dead and those not believing because they don't remember? Why do we need to remember along with those disciples? We need to remember the words from Isaiah 53. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. Yet he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We need to remember that in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus predicts his death 3 times and his death and resurrection 2x. In Luke 9:22, he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and the 3rd day be raised." In Luke 9:44, "Listen carefully to what I am about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be delivered to the hands of men." And they did not understand what this meant. It was hidden from them, so they did not grasp it, and they were afraid to ask him about it. In Luke 18, Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit upon him. They will flog him and kill him, and on the 3rd day he will rise again." The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. But let us remember today that Jesus is raised from the dead, and that has changed the world forever. We will find, when we read further in Luke 24, that the scriptures have acquired a new level of meaning. The messianic level of meaning. Jesus introduces a rereading of scripture after he is raised from the dead. That, my friends, is how we read scripture today in light of the resurrected Christ. Why do we celebrate Holy Week and Easter every year? What would happen if we forgot? When the Israelites forgot to celebrate their festivals, they forgot who they were. We would forget that we are resurrection people. N.T. Wright puts it this way. Left to ourselves, we lapse into a kind of confusion and entropy, acquiescing in the general belief that things may be getting worse, but there's nothing much we can do about them. And we are wrong. Our task is in the present, is to live as resurrection people between Easter and the final day. With our Christian life, corporate and individual, in both worship and mission, as a sign of the first and a foretaste of the second. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.